Let's tap into the universal energy that connects us all. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Good afternoon. Welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for being with us. This is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might also be listening online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And just like every week, I always say, wherever you're listening from, whether it's live or on podcast, thanks so much for joining us. So today we have another very special guest. We're going to speak with the medium next door. Her name is Maureen Hancock, and she discovered her psychic abilities to communicate with the dead when she was just 5 years old, and she's descended from a long line of legendary Irish mystics, and she was no stranger to the spiritual realm, but she kept the otherworldly messages to herself all through her childhood and almost suppressed them completely. But then on 9/11, Maureen was bombarded with messages from the spirits that she realized she had to put her ability to use, and so she left her job at a law firm where she was working, and she opened the Holistic Healing Center Pathways to Healing and launched the Cancer Foundation Manifest a Miracle. And today she is here on the show to discuss her book, The Medium Next Door, Adventures of a Real Life Ghost Whisperer, and she's going to take your calls. The number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR 822-2487. Welcome to the show, Maureen.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on. It's so exciting to speak with you. And you actually, yeah, there's your book is amazing. You've had so many, well, you've had two major near-death experiences yourself, and many situations happening in your family where there were near-death experiences, and also things that you were able to tune into and know as they were happening or in advance. So tell us about your near-death experiences.
Well, as a child, I had lead paint poisoning, and I used to chew on my crib and the windowsills, and back in the day, everything was lead paint, and I slipped into a coma, and I spent 3 years in and out of Boston's Children's Hospital, and when I finally came home from the hospital, there were all these people roaming around the house. I didn't realize they were spirits, and I asked one of my eight brothers and sisters, like, do you know who all these people are? And my sister said, shh, you know, they're going to take you back to the hospital. So I kept my mouth shut until I was in a car accident. I fell asleep at the wheel, and I broke every bone in my face. And my grandmother passed away the week before my accident. This happened in 92. And I actually felt her presence with me. I should have had all kinds of surgery, which I did not need. The doctors couldn't understand it. My two MRIs were completely different. And after that, I started to hear the voices. And it was definitely overwhelming at first, but many of my siblings have had near-death experiences, as you mentioned, and a few of us have this ability. So we're just trying to figure it all out.
And Maureen, it's amazing because you also, because of the lead poisoning, your doctor didn't think that you would be able to conceive, and then you were at the Mayan ruins. And can you tell us a little bit about what happened there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, lead paint, and then I actually, working in law firms, unfortunately, I was doing lead paint defense work, so reading through all the research, one thing I came across was an article about how, 99% of women or females who get lead paint poisoning are later infertile and can't have children. So my doctor said, you know, you're not going to be able to have children. And I was at the Mayan ruins, and I went into one of the temples, and it was really, really hot, so I sat down. I thought I was going to pass out. And all these Mayans, you know, that I thought worked there kept giggling and laughing at me, and they're like, you're on the fertility pole. Sitting on, and I said, well, there's no problem there, you know, can't have kids. And a month later, I was pregnant. Not from the pole, from my husband.
Yay. And your baby was a miracle baby in the sense that, first of all, you never expected that you would be able to conceive. But then there was something wrong with the ultrasound. They saw some things, and you just were not. I remember reading the book. You were at first. The first thought was panic, and then you were like, "No, hang on a second. I'm going to handle this on my own."
Right. They saw tumors on my baby's eyes in utero, and they'd never seen anything like this. So, you know, this was at one of the big teaching hospitals in Boston, and they said, you know, we're going to have to take the baby immediately after birth and do surgery, but we're not sure if your baby will be able to see. And, you know, I just prayed, and I did all kinds of healing work on myself, and I just, you know, I would imagine, you know, these tumors disappearing and just putting it out there and having faith. And, yeah, they... probably a couple of weeks later when I went in again, they were not on the ultrasounds, and they almost popped my belly trying to find them. I think the doctors were disappointed because it was a new thing for them. But for me, it was another little miracle along the way.
Wow. It's kind of ironic. You're there concerned with your health and your baby's health, and the doctors are a little bit disappointed because they don't get to learn from the experience.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess that's what happens when you're dealing with scientists, but
I know, right?
But so we've talked a little bit about some of the amazing things that you've overcome and worked through. But I'm curious about when you're working as a medium or just experiencing these spirits. I mean, how does it work for you? Do you just talk to someone and then maybe you see someone around them, or what does it look like?
Well, I mostly hear. I'm clairaudient. That's my strong point. So when I start to tune in, basically I will hear them talk to me. I do sense things, like I feel how they passed. I do see things, and it's just not my strongest point, but I will see life memories, things they're trying to get across, and I have to quickly interpret things and put it together and give the messages. And you know, I do events for hundreds of people at a time. That's always a challenge because it's like the Verizon commercial of dead people showing up at these events. So trying to tune in one at a time is definitely a challenge. But it just brings so much comfort and healing to know that there is something else outside of this physical body, which I call the leased vehicle. When the lease is up, the driver continues.
So, Maureen, I can imagine when you're dealing with multiple people and large groups, it seems like it would be easier to visually be able to see them because you could point them out. But when you're hearing all these different voices, how do you isolate who you want to hear from?
Well, I think just over the years of doing this work, I have fine-tuned this like an instrument. So I play it every day, and it just fine-tunes. So I look right at somebody, and I hear, I'm her mother, I had breast cancer, I passed 3 years ago, my name's Marilyn. Like, I just start to get, I know who I'm connecting with. I do get double connections, so I just sort of inform the crowd, hey, you could be sitting away in the corner, and your loved one might come through with another because you have similar information. So it is a challenge, but I use humor to infuse throughout the event to make it a celebration of life. So some people call me the comedian medium because I have a very light way of bringing through messages, and very much like the medium next door, my new book.
And you also did stand-up comedy, too. Are you still doing that, or is that mostly in your medium events?
No, that's in my medium events, you know, because I've been doing these events now almost 10 years. So they're called Postcards from Heaven, and it infuses lighthearted humor to celebrate life. And then I get serious, too. But back in the day, I did do stand-up comedy in Boston and around New England. And so after the accident, I found a way to use my natural gift of humor to bring healing.
And so, Maureen, I'm curious, I want to put out that number in case anyone would like to call in for a mini reading today, 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. So as a medium, are you generally only connecting with people who are deceased, or are there other bits of information that come through from other sources?
For the most part, I am just validating continuity of life and that they are still with us. And through my medium reading, sometimes information comes up from the deceased about maybe somebody getting a new job or, you know, children that they think they're missing out on and things like that. But for the most part, you know, I'm validating the presence of that deceased loved one, that they didn't just disappear into oblivion. They're still a part of your lives. They're watching over your children. They're guiding you and helping you to live the best life that you can.
Wonderful. And also, I'm curious about, because we see, like, Ghost Whisperer, we see these shows where ghosts are kind of hovering around, and then at some point they cross over completely. So are these spirits always around, or is it just some that hang around and others choose to move on, or can you really connect with anyone theoretically?
I believe that I connect to all the souls that go to heaven or, pass on. And I'm really not of the belief that they hang around for a long time. I know that in those shows, especially Ghost Whisperer, they talk about people getting stuck. And I think that maybe, like, after a tragedy, a younger person might hang around for a while just to try to adjust, and it takes a little bit longer. And actually, the producers of my new TV show, which we can talk about later, are the producers of The Ghost Whisperer. So they think it's funny that, you know, I mostly believe that eventually everyone sort of crosses over.
Hmm. So are you going to be in the TV show? Because I'm looking at your picture, and I have to say, when you talk about having your face completely smashed up in a car wreck, you look beautiful, so I guess everything worked out.
Thank you. It did. I mean, it was a huge miracle. And, it evokes almost every bone in my face, and I didn't need any surgery, and you could never tell. I mean, I even had 30 stitches down the middle of my face, and I have no scars. Huge divine intervention from my grandmother, and the TV show is about me, and it's about my life. And ABC called me a year and a half ago, and Disney, and then the Ghost Whisperer folks came on board a year ago, and we sold the show to the Style Network. So we just shot the pilot, really exciting, and they're going to come back this summer and hopefully shoot a whole season. But it was really overwhelming, but they did it in a very nice way that represented me well, I think.
Yay. So are you in the show?
Yeah, it's about me. I'm the show. It's a reality show.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I love reality shows. How fun.
Yeah. Yay. They're going to be following my life, my work with the police and missing children, and my two foundations, the cancer work I do, especially with children. And then trying to be a mom, I'm the soccer mom with a twist, so they're going to be following my daily life, which is very, very busy, and I'm always in hospitals and homes and trying to save the world, and then I'm trying to rush home for homework, a hot meal, and then run out the door to do a Postcard from Heaven event. And but I'm all about giving back, and that's what the big message is going to be. It's very uplifting, the show. And people will probably laugh at me, and I'm a little quirky and funny, and I think it'll be enlightening.
Yay. Well, quirky and funny makes for great television, so that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, when you have cameras following you around, does it affect your ability to tap into the other side?
It did at first, and I've been going back and forth with different networks for about 7 years, and I've had different offers, and I'm proud to say I've turned a lot of them down because they just wanted to sensationalize what I do. But when I have the cameras in front of me now, I can feel this rush of, like, angels around me and my guides and my loved ones, and it's been 100 times magnified. So the readings are incredible. I know when people see them, they're going to see they're authentic because of just, the reactions. And reactions don't lie. When I'm stopping someone in the street and I'm like, your best friend is right here, and he had a drug overdose, and his name's Brian. I mean, it just is incredible. So at first it was really nerve-wracking to have cameras in my face, and now I block them out, and I just do what I do.
Yay. Well, and Maureen, it's time for a break, but do you have a website or anything before you become incredibly famous and have no time to talk to anybody? How can people contact you?
Yep, they can go to www.maureenhancock.com. That's MaureenHancock.com, and they can get my new book, The Medium Next Door, and check out my website.
Awesome. Okay, so it's time for a break now. You are listening to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks for being with us. And today we're speaking with Maureen Hancock. She is the author of the new book, The Medium Next Door, Adventures of a Real Life Ghost Whisperer. We'll be back in a flash.
Bond. James Bond.
Got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
You talking to me? You talking to me?
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, I am.
Plastics.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Just a sweet transvestite.
Where else can you see Hollywood blockbusters, midnight cult classics, indie films, live music, burlesque, stand-up comedy, poetry slams, and live sporting events all at your local theater? The Rio Theater, voted number one in East Vancouver, your neighborhood indie theater that promotes all things cool.
It's the Doxa Film Festival on the 12th and 13th, Friday the 13th at midnight on Friday the 13th, and Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides playing the 20th through the 31st.
For more information, go to riotheater.ca.
Is putting on a pair of headphones and listening to music just not doing it for you anymore? Then rediscover your love of music by seeing it happen right before your eyes at the Sled Island Independent Music and Arts Festival in Calgary, Alberta. Running from June 22nd to the 25th, you can catch such great acts as Blonde Redhead of Montreal, Twin Shadow, The Ravenettes, and local Vancouver bands No Gold, Teen Days, Dead Ghosts, and Bison BC. With over 200 bands playing, there's something for everyone. For full lineup and tickets, go to www.sledisland.com.
Let's pretend we don't exist. Let's pretend we're in Antarctica.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Yay! We have Maureen Hancock on the show today. She is author of the book, The Medium Next Door, Adventures of a Real Life Ghost Whisperer. Welcome back to the show, Maureen.
Thank you.
It's so great to have you on, and I'm really excited. I have a question, actually. It's kind of interesting. I was reading your book last night before bed, and then my mother passed in, I think, 2003, and I don't dream about her very often. It's very rare, but last night I had a dream that I was clearing out her apartment, like, you know, after someone passes and you have to go through all their things.
Yeah.
I didn't really think anything of it this morning, but now that I'm talking to you, I'm thinking, well, I'm wondering if there's something going on there. So what do you make of dreams of either deceased people, or even like something where it's, you're thinking about something that they owned or a place where they hung out a lot?
Well, I think dreams are just so important as a huge tool to be able to stay connected, because I believe that pretty much everyone has had a dream of a past loved one, and some are definitely, just dreams and thoughts, and I call them mind dumping, where you're just sort of getting rid of some subconscious stuff you're holding on to. But the real visits are the ones that you won't forget, where in the dream it feels so real, and they say to you, you know, I just want to make sure you're okay, or you hug. And usually as humans, we can't wrap our brain around it, so we usually say to them, I thought you were dead, like in the dream. For you, I almost feel like it was like a cleansing thing to be cleaning out an apartment. You're reading the book. It's probably sparking some memories. And I think you probably have opened yourself up even more to dreams, because whatever that clearing out dream is, maybe it has revitalized the energy around it so she can get in a little bit easier. You may have been just sort of holding on to some old stuff, hence the dream, that now you've just sort of cleared out. So don't be surprised if mom shows up, you know. And she had illness, your mom?
Yeah, she actually was ill all her life. She had schizophrenia, but that's not obviously what killed her. She had a series of strokes and then eventually passed from pneumonia in the hospital.
Okay. She just kept saying, like, I'm whole again and I'm not sick anymore. And, you know, as hard as it was, everything you went through, you know, it's made you who you are. I mean, you just, I think you're such a light to so many people, and dedicating your life to helping others and affecting lives. And just, you have really sweet, awesome energy.
Oh, thank you. That's really nice to hear.
Yeah.
And of course, you're out there helping people every day, and I want to talk more about your postcards from Heaven event. But I also, I guess people are shy today. The number to call in is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. So I'm curious, maybe just to get the ball rolling with the phone calls, if there's anyone that you, I guess, hear around me, or is there always someone around every person, or is it just kind of random?
No, I don't think that they are constantly around people, because I think that they come through when you need them most. Obviously, like if someone says to me, you know, at an event, hey, you know, is my dad around? And, you know, he might just pop in at that moment because we have asked him to. Can you please come forward? That kind of a thing. And a lot of guys will say to me, well, they're not always around, are they? And I'm like, no, it's not like they have to follow us around. But, you know, I believe that we all have guardian angels that are kind of there to help guide us and protect us. And then our loved ones in spirit will come in when we especially need them, to kind of help out. Or, you know, we're always looking up to the sky, right? Like, are you there? Can you help me, please? And, you know, they can't fix everything, but they can definitely help guide us in the right direction if we just learn how to quiet our mind enough to recognize or to hear it, you know. So, and just talking to you, I was trying to tune in just a little bit, even though when I'm talking and focused on telling my story, I'm not tuning in, you know, to the energy of the spirits, but I just kept feeling like a grandmother around you who was trying to come through. And did you not know your grandfather?
No, I don't really know any of my family. It was just me and my mom. So okay. My father's also passed.
Grandfather came through and said she wouldn't know me if she didn't know me. So even if you didn't get to know them, I still feel that they somehow assign themselves to you sometimes, or they're part of your crew, you know, to help you. And then everything that you went through here is left here. Those are all of the life lessons. I think you're an old soul, so you agree to go through so much in your life, and because you're just at such a high point of getting towards enlightenment. And, you know, I went through a lot in my life, too, and I can look back now and say, oh, God, you know, I agreed to go through all that. You know, I bet somebody pushed me to come back into this body. But I look at every situation as an opportunity to learn and grow from, and sort of some of them to let go of and just keep moving forward.
Wonderful. So it sounds like we've all got this little posse on the other side that are keeping tabs on us, and they've got our back.
I love that. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, people always say, why did this happen? Like, if my mom was really around me and watching over me, why did this have to happen and she didn't stop it? That's like a very common question or thought. And I always say, you know, they really can't intervene and fix everything. You know, they they'll give us the strength that we need to get through each thing that we go through, but they can't always fix everything. So we immediately think, oh, why can't they just fix it for us?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's the same as if they were alive. They can't fix everything for you. That's, you're here to live your own life and make your own mistakes and experience things.
Right. Awesome point. I'm going to use that too. It's the same thing here. You're right. I'm stealing.
And you wouldn't want them helping. I mean, if they were alive and they were kept butting into your business, you'd just start to get annoyed, right?
Exactly.
Nobody likes moms
exactly.
like that.
Yeah. And some do try to just constantly poke in and enable you and make it easier for you, and you don't never learn the lessons. You mm-hmm. have to keep repeating that.
Yeah, it doesn't
thing.
Serve you. You don't grow up.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to put that number out again if you would like to call in and speak with Maureen. We're speaking with Maureen Hancock. She is the author of The Medium Next Door, Adventures of a Real Life Ghost Whisperer. The number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. And I want to talk about some of the, you help people find information and crimes and things like that. But I also, before we talk about that, I want to ask you about this young man. When you were in the hospital, after the lead poisoning, you were in and out of the hospital for years. And at one point you were in the hospital and, or maybe it was when your sister was in the hospital. I'm not sure. But anyway, there was
yeah,
a boy, John.
It was when my sister was in, yeah.
Oh, okay. So when your sister was in the hospital, there was a boy, a nonverbal quadriplegic boy, who you were able to communicate with telepathically. I'd love if you could share some of that story.
Sure. So when my sister was hit by a car, she was in a rehab for over a year, and it was a brain injury rehab, and she, was brain injured, and the boy next to her, who was a teenager, was in a car accident, and he was a quadriplegic, and he couldn't talk, but he was, definitely, you could tell he just had a lot going on. He was still very, active in his mind, so when I would go in to see him, because I just noticed day after day, no one ever came in to visit him, and so I would go in and talk to him, and then I just started to hear things back. Like, I'll never forget, the first I heard, my mom's name is Linda. I was looking at pictures of his family. So when the nurse came in, I said, "Do you know if his mom's name is Linda?" And she was like, "Yes, how do you know? Do you know Linda?" And I was like, "Oh my goodness, he just told me that." So I know it's possible, and I work with sick children, and I have a little six-year-old boy who's nonverbal, and he has seizures, and so he started to talk to me, and he said, "I just went horseback riding yesterday in a place called Rochester, Mass." And I asked the mom, "Did you just take him horseback riding in Rochester?" And she was like, "How do you know?" I'm like, "He told me." It's like we were talking mind to mind. I know it sounds crazy, but now they recognize when he's going to have a seizure because I taught them how to quiet their minds and to just hear his thoughts. And now he'll say, I'm having a seizure," and they can help him. Isn't that amazing?
Wow, that really is amazing. And I'm curious because, so that's not quite the same as tapping into people who are deceased. Is it because he's nonverbal? Do you think that desire and drive to communicate telepathically is maybe stronger than it would be for someone like me? Is that why you're able
Absolutely.
To tap into it?
Yeah, because I think that, so much energy is going into wanting to communicate that it's just like, it's right there. It's like, it's on the tip. And it's just, it is so different. And I can tell it's on a different level energetically because it feels a little bit denser. Like, did I just hear him say something? And it's different from when I hear a fast-moving loved one, like, kind of yell something out, like almost like a car driving by and they're yelling things out, so it's really interesting. Yeah.
Well, we are... Oh, I'm just going to do a little station ID here. We're listening to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. And the guest today is the lovely Maureen Hancock. She is the author of the book, The Medium Next Door, Adventures of a Real-Life Ghost Whisperer. And her website is MaureenHancock.com. And if you want to get on the air, if there's someone on the other side and you're wondering if maybe they have a message for you, or I'm wondering maybe if things just didn't end the way you wanted, you didn't have a chance to say goodbye, you know, there's all these issues when loved ones pass away. But if you have something like that going on, whether it's recent or in the distant past, give us a call, 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. Welcome back, Maureen. I think there was something else you wanted to say, and I interrupted you.
Oh, not at all. Yeah, I definitely finished that thought, but thank you.
And so when people pass over, pass on to the other side, does it tend to be when there's situations where not everything has been said, or there were, you know, people were not, they were estranged when the person passed away or whatever, did they try to come through more often, or does it really matter?
I think they do try to come through more often, and I've noticed that at my events that some of the people that are more apt to get messages are the ones that need that closure, I guess, or I don't even like to use that word because it's never completely closed off, but something that definitely was sort of left hanging, or there was any old anger issues or judgments and all the things we strive to let go of. So, you know, a woman said to me once, you know, I didn't get a reading, and I know why, because everything was just totally peaceful and beautiful for me and my mom, and all the women around me had issues, and they're all the ones who got readings. So, I mean, it's a mix and match. I give just very light, loving messages, too, but I've noticed more often it's the ones who didn't get to say goodbye, who didn't have, like I said, like just that last connection to heal things that will get a message.
Hmm.
You're right.
And so, Maureen, I've kind of brought this up on the show before. When with my mother, obviously, like her being schizophrenic, there were a lot of issues that we had. And when she was passing away, I had a lot of mixed feelings. Obviously, like not good she's going, but good that she's not going to be struggling with this all her, you know, her life was very difficult. And there were some, you know, she was in the hospital for a long time. She was nonverbal when she was dying. And so there are some things that I kind of, you know, I wasn't able to visit her as often as I would have liked, and yada, yada, yada. So I'm wondering, to people on the other side, do those things matter, or are they more cleared once they're gone?
Oh, they're definitely cleared, and, you know, even your mom was saying, I'm whole again, and we immediately see our book of life, what we went through, all the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, and struggles that we went through, and we understand better, like, okay, wow, this was an incredible journey, and it was hard and incredibly tough, but I've left that behind, and now I'm free and clear of those struggles and pain or illness or whatever it may be. And even when someone's nonverbal here, like you mentioned, your mom, they still know things that are going on around them. And a lot of times they bring that up in the reading, like, oh, okay, you know, you came in on Tuesday and I passed on Thursday, or things like that. Like, they're still aware of what's going on. But then from the other side, they're just trying to help guide you through your life so that for you, you know, the second half of your life will be just more of your dreams coming true, and they'll help you to reach those goals that, you know, you kind of maybe not able to reach because your energy was going elsewhere when she was here.
And so, yeah, and I'm also curious, do people, you know, some people when they're living are... can be holding on to resentments and things like that. And so do people who have that personality type t- tend to sometimes still carry those on into the afterlife? Are there people who hold resentments, or does it just automatically, everything is perfect and you forgive everyone?
I believe it is released. I mean, it's not like perfect. Like, let's say someone was, you know, a lower vibration, or they committed a murder or something like that. They're not free and clear and like, oh, I'm free and clear of that. You know, there's definitely different levels on the other side, depending on how you lived your life out. I believe, like, people that cross themselves over, they have to sort of go through a learning period, or they're at a little bit lower vibration. They have to feel the pain they caused their family, or understand why that wasn't their choice to make, and, you know, they didn't reach out for help, or, you know, they can't just make that decision. But no, I've never encountered anyone that has come through that still feels the resentment or anger, or, you know, they say, those were my life lessons, those were the things that I agreed to go through here. I didn't take them with me where I'm at now, and I have unconditional love, pure love, and light, you know, unless they're, like I said, a lower vibration that needs to be in a place of, like, either I don't connect with because they're so yucky and bad, or just where they have to go into that learning space. So no, they don't take it with them.
Okay, and so that's another thing I was wondering, is maybe those spirits that are kind of holding on to resentment and anger and all of that, maybe you're just not tuning into them.
Good point. That could be. Like, yeah, if it's somebody that was really a lower vibration and darker and icky, you know, maybe they are at that place, and I've never felt it because I source my light right from the top, and I have a lot of faith, and I believe that I'm connecting with higher vibration spirits that are, you know, I've connected a couple of times to people that have not been the greatest, and can admit it and say, I'm sorry, and I abused you, or I was not the way I should have been, and I'm so sorry, will you forgive me? And a lot of times they will come through and say, I'm looking for forgiveness here. And a lot of healing takes place in that moment.
Mm, that's so beautiful. And forgiveness is so healing for the person who offers the forgiveness. I think even more so than the person who is asking for it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, if they can get in that space of, yeah, I forgive you. I mean, it takes so much to get into that space. And then when it is, it's just such a release. It's like, oh, I can breathe again.
Mm-hmm. And so, Maureen, I want to talk also about, do you help with crime solving? Or you were working at a law firm.
Right, yep. I was working at a law firm, and then I was litigation manager at Logan Airport when 9/11 happened. That was all part of that big turning point where I quit my job and I started working with the sick and dying, and then offering my services to the police and detectives. And now I get calls from all over the country from detectives, even though we'll work sort of quietly behind the scenes. And I recently formed a foundation called Mission for the Missing with a private detective to help find missing children and adults. And in the last 6 months, we've brought home 5 living children and 1 man with Alzheimer's, just working together and using my abilities, his abilities, and to see them come home alive is just incredible. It's amazing, and that's why I do this work.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
Yay.
It's overwhelming, too, because now, you know, I'm getting calls for a lot of murders, and they send me photos, and I'm very sensitive, and I'm like, oh, I can't look at the photos, you know, because I'm just connecting to the spirit to try to help get information. And, you know, they're so used to it. And this female detective in North Carolina who calls on me a lot, yeah, she'll fly up to Boston and bring all her photos and throw them out on the table, and I'm like, you know, I can't look at that. And she's like, oh, get used to it. But it's, you know, I'm another tool in her toolbox to help, and I offer my services free. So it's not like I'm like, oh, I'll help you for a fee, you know. I believe that I was given this ability to help others and to give back, so I try to do that as much as I can every day. actually, and I'm at the bedside of people who are passing with cancer, whether they're children or adults, taking away their fears, telling them who's going to be there to greet them, and just soothing, you know, the family and teaching them how to be involved and make it a beautiful transition instead of a scary, dark, horrible time. We try to make it, you know, just so that they know that this person is going to be okay and they're still going to be present, because they always say, I'm not dead, I'm just different. Do you love that?
I'm not dead, I'm just different. Like on a different vibration.
A lot of kids, yeah, a lot of young kids in heaven say that to me at the other side. And they'll say, I'm not dead, I'm just different.
Hmm.
Hmm. So I named one of my chapters that because it just resonated like, wow. And I think someone just wrote a book with that title as well.
Hmm. So I guess they're hearing that too.
But my book, The Medium Next Door.
The Medium Next Door, Adventures of a Real-Life Ghost Whisperer. And so if your sessions are free of charge, how do you choose? I mean, don't you get just bombarded with people?
I do. You know, in my night events, Postcards from Heaven, that's how I survive and raise, you know, my children and support my family. But my day work is free with my cancer work, and I only take on end-stage cancer patients who are at, you know, probably a few weeks left on this earth. And I have lots of practitioners who are paid through the foundation to do healing work like massage and Reiki and reflexology and meditation. And, you know, they go out to homes and hospitals as well. And through word of mouth, yeah, I get a lot of requests. And now that I'm sort of out there, even before the TV show, I'm getting requests from around the country. And I can't, you know, I have to remember I'm just one person. So I'll just kind of like tune in and see where my abilities would be best served and then sort of offer out. But yeah, I can't help everybody. I wish I could.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause there are just so many people that would want help. And I can't remember if it was in your book or if I was reading another book. I think it might have been yours, about hospice work and how it's important to, because when people are dying, everyone around them gets all sad, and that's really not serving that person.
Yeah, that was my book for sure, and that's why it's like I sort of come into a home and act as a teacher, or even just through reading the book, people will be able to learn how to be in that place and not shrink back and be there to support, and the person that's physically leaving or transitioning, you know, they can feel all that heavy, heavy energy around them. And I just try to teach people to like have it be lighter. And even just I say, do you touch, you know, your mom, can you rub her feet and her hands and her head and just massage? And no, like they're almost afraid. And I'm like, get right in there, crawl into the bed, come on, let them here. And tell her it's okay to leave, that you're going to be okay. And the first reason, oh, no, I'm not. I wanted to stay here. I'm like, well, let's work on that and try to get to a place that, you know, you're going to understand that she's still here. We're not just this physical body. This is the shell. Our essence and our soul survives this physical. And eventually they get to that place where they can say, I'm going to be okay. You can let go, you know, go to your loved ones who are waiting for you, and I'll be along when I'm supposed to be, and we'll be together again in a more familiar way. And I teach them to look for the signs. Signs are huge.
So my first question, I want to find out about the signs, but do you find that many people who are ready to transition hold on because their loved ones aren't ready to let them go?
Sometimes, I mean, I will say to them, because it, the opposite, too, people say, I'm ready, like I keep telling my dad to go, and he won't. What is holding him back here? What is it? We've all said our goodbyes. We don't understand. And in that instance, I say, you know, they're going in their own time. I mean, this is a process, and you just have to have patience with it, and, you know, they're trying to figure out how to transition and let go, do that final sort of leap, I guess. But I have had others that will say or whisper to me on their deathbed, like, I can't leave. I can just tell that my daughter is going to be lost without me. And I'm like, no, listen to me. you're going to be right here. I promise you, you're still going to be able to guide her and be here for her. And then that seems to ease it. And then I'll say, you promise? And I'm like, I promise. I know it. And then they can let go.
Mm. Beautiful. And so what are these signs that, that the people who are the loved ones need to look for?
And I always say, too, like, don't always look for them, because a lot of times you're going to get hit with a sign when you least expect it, because there's no on-demand button to the heavens. And, like, flashing lights or coins, which I find amazing, that you'll find, like, you know, a certain penny or a dime from heaven and look at the date. It might be significant. My sister's son passed tragically, and he sends us 1984 pennies, which is the year of his birth, to let us know that he's around, especially when I'm heading into Children's to help a child pass. He'll leave a penny on my car seat, and it's always 1984. And I'm like, how did he do that? Music, a certain song that comes on the radio, maybe a shooting star or a butterfly, a dragonfly that kind of follows you around. Just so many different signs. Maybe your phone goes off and nobody's there. They're able to use their energy, and energy can't die. Even the scientists will back that one up, to sort of interfere with radio waves or electricity or the TV, you know, anything that's electrical or mechanical to get in. There's just so many signs.
Yay. Signs. I've heard of the coin thing, but I never thought to look at the date.
Oh, yeah, now you have a new thing you can look for. And it might be your year of birth, a significant time for you, you know, and sometimes it's just going to be a regular old penny with a 1978 date that means nothing. So, but a lot of times when you need it most, there is that shiny dime or penny, and it just catches your eye and pick it up and turn it over.
Cool. I'll be on the lookout for that now. All right. It's time for another break. We are speaking with Maureen Hancock, and she is the author of The Medium Next Door, Adventures of a Real Life Ghost Whisperer, and she's also got a reality TV series in the works. They've done the pilot for it, and so hopefully they'll be doing the rest of the first season soon. Maybe we can ask her more about that in just a moment. I am Marie Bernard, and this is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
Do you have a child in grades 3, 4, or 5? The Gecko Project is a fun and easy study being conducted by researchers from UBC. We'll drive our mobile lab to your house so there's no hassle, and your child will get to play some fun and exciting games with our research assistants while you answer some questions about home life. You and your child will both receive a $25 gift certificate from a local business for your time. Come be a part of Gecko Project today.
To participate or learn more, call 604-827-3426.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Coming up next in about 10 minutes is Parts Unknown, so stick around for that. And next week, I have another very special guest David Sarita. He is a physicist and a filmmaker, and he's been on Coast to Coast AM a gazillion times, and I've spoken with him a few times on the other radio show that I host for Namaste Publishing called Namaste Radio. That's online, and he is, yeah, it's going to be really cool. He's got these new meditation CDs that he's going to talk about, how he can really tap into the God energy. And he's had these amazing experiences. He's been meditating since he was a small child and has had all these really cool experiences. So he'll be on next week to talk about that. If you want more information about any of my shows, go to my website, spiritualshow.com. That's where you can find me. Or you can also follow me on Twitter. Marie Bernard is where I'm at. And I'm also on Facebook as Marie Bernard. And then Synchronicity has a page as well, and you can find that through my website, spiritualshow.com. But today we're speaking with Maureen Hancock, and she is the author of The Medium Next Door, Adventures of a Real-Life Ghost Whisperer. Her website is maureenhancock.com, maureenhancock.com. Welcome back to the show, Maureen.
Thank you so much.
Hi. So, I mentioned again your show, just in case people are just tuning in. Do you know when the pilot, do they tell you when things like that are going to air?
I'm waiting to find out. It was just delivered to the Style Network a few weeks ago, and I know they're going back and forth with edits and notes and whatnot. And I believe it will be on this summer. And, if people want to sign up for my newsletter on the website you just mentioned, I'm going to keep everyone informed of all the Hollywood happenings and, see what happens. I mean, it was really fun to shoot the pilot, but it was long. It was like 7 a.m. in the morning till 11 o'clock at night. So I'm in for a long haul, but it's fun. It is.
Yay. Oh, my gosh. But you're not going to do any, like, snooky kind of stuff. It's all going to be, like, good behavior.
No. And thankfully, I know, my producers, the Ghost Whisperer producers and ABC, like, they're really good to me. And they said, hey, we're not going to make you do anything that you're not comfortable with. And so, once in a while they might mention something hokey because they just don't get it. And I'm like, ew, no, I won't do that. That's not me.
Ooh, can you give us an example?
They might say, like, we were filming a little bit in this small town, and hey, we want you to go into that laundromat and just go up to that person. And I'm like, but I have to feel it, I have to be able to feel it. I can't just go in there, and I want it to be authentic and as it's not make it or force it happen. And I can't even remember, there were just some other things where they didn't quite get it. Like, hey, what if you do this or that? And I just remember at the time I was like, oh God, no. No, that's not how it works. Because especially with, they are used to, at least with Ghost Whisperer, Jennifer Love Hewitt and filming that show, and she's an actor, and I'm not. I'm just keeping it real.
Gotta keep it real. That's good. I like it.
Yeah.
Yay.
Right.
Because reality TV, so much of reality TV isn't real.
I know.
Which is frustrating because there's so much to real life.
It is. It's gross. But when they delivered the pilot, I guess, Style said, gosh, this is so refreshing. Like, we haven't seen anything like this in a long time. And they're just so creative and so great, my director and producers, and so they helped me and let me just be me, and my sisters, actually, I'm one of nine, as I mentioned earlier, and a few of my sisters are on the TV show. My two nieces are mediums. They're sort of the sorcerer's apprentices, and they're the young, cute Hollywood types, I guess. I'm the old 40-something-year-old mom.
Oh, whatever. You're still gorgeous. So.
What's that?
I said, oh, whatever. You're still gorgeous.
Oh, thank you so much. And so they're really just, they bring a lot of just light and They're fun. And, you know, we work as a family. So my sisters help me run my nonprofits, and they help keep my schedule and help me, you know, one sister does all my bookkeeping and keeps me up to date with, like, Facebook and Twitter and keeps me, you know, in the loop with that. So they're going to be on the show, and we have so much fun when we're all together. Oh, here's a good example. Like, they would say, hey, you know, why don't you yell at each other?
Like, of course.
No, we don't yell at each other. Like, no. So I can see, you know, I know that whole, like, there's so much reality out there that's just contrived, and this won't be. And you can tell, like, when I went into a firehouse and I read a bunch of firemen, and they were all huge skeptics. And by the time I left, they were all crying, and literally, like, one guy said, I was an atheist. I didn't believe in God or anything, and you just turned my whole world upside down, and now I believe. I mean, that was just incredible.
Mm, I love that.
I know.
Oh, well, we just have a few minutes left in the show, and I love talking about your show, but before we wrap up, there was something on 9/11, you just were bombarded with all of these people. Can you just give us a brief touch on what happened there?
Yeah, well, I was working at Logan Airport. I was litigation manager there when 9/11 happened. And, you know, my office overlooked the tarmac where the planes took off, you know, that hit the buildings. And a few days before, actually, and my husband can attest to this, I had a dream that I saw two planes hit a building. And it wasn't like it was like the World Trade Center. They were just brick buildings. And I said, oh, my God, I had the weirdest dream. These two planes hit a building and this and that. And then when it happened, it was just, you know, I wasn't an active medium at that point. And so going back to Logan and walking along near the tarmac, I really was overwhelmed with the energy of it all. And, I mean, there were armed guards at my office door and all around the building. And it was just, like, so heavy, and you had to keep looking up over your head thinking another plane is going to fall on you or crash. And then I started taking calls from families through the legal department and realizing after, like, oh, my gosh, I'm slipping with information. Like, oh, I'm sure Billy is okay. And they would be like, we didn't tell you his name. So that's when it really started to come out, and I actually put in for the layoff that they did at Logan after 9/11. And that horrible tragedy, I turned to triumph, because then I started a widows group for 9/11, and I started my cancer foundation and my holistic healing center, all, you know, because of 9/11. Just trying, you know, that was a big thing. If you remember, you just, what can we do to help these people? You just wanted to do something to give back.
Mm, definitely. Wonderful. Well, it's nice that so much good can come of something that we all remember so vividly as such a tragic event. And so, Maureen, I'm wondering if there's one message that you really want to get out to listeners, aside from go buy the book, The Medium Next Door, Adventures of a Real Life Ghost Whisperer. But other than that, is there one message that you really want people to hear?
I would say the biggest message that I want people to take away from this and the book is that we really should live each day like it could be our last, and practice all the things that, you know, we strive for in this life, and that is forgiveness and gratitude and trying to make time for the people around us, and you know, work to live, don't live to work, and make the most out of this precious time that you have here in this incarnation. And love unconditionally and pay it forward and give back and try to live the best life that you can until it is your time to physically leave here.
Mm. Thank you so much. I totally agree. I kind of feel, I was talking to this guy online a while back who had a heart transplant. And so he felt he felt kind of guilty that he wasn't doing big things with his life because he had been given another chance and someone else died so that he could continue living. And my response to him was like, you don't, I mean, if you want to do big, important things, that's great. But the best thing you can do is just be the best you that you can be and be there for the people who you love and make their lives brighter and just be your authentic self. And in that way, you're making the world a brighter place just by being alive.
Yes. Yeah, like use your new heart to love with every ounce and essence of your being. Mm-hmm. And that's enough. Good advice.
Well, it sounds like we're on the same page, and I just really have loved speaking with you. And is there anything that you'd like to add?
No, I really enjoyed it too, and I just want to add that, you know, when if you're grieving and you're listening, and you can be grieving anything, not just the loss of a physical life, but a job or a relationship, that there is a brighter side to things, and you know, just trying to see the positive in each day and wake up with a new attitude. You get to choose the attitude that you're going to have for the day. So choose it wisely and use your time wisely.